Well, hey there. This is Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White in today for Beth Ruyak. You know, the holidays are coming up fast. In fact, what, a week from tomorrow is Thanksgiving. Wine expert Rick Cushman spoke with Beth Ruyak about picking the perfect bottle for your next big gathering.
When I was writing my first book, it was replaying on cable.
The movie Sideways.
Yeah, and my first book was about wine. And I found myself like late at night and watching over and over and over and thinking, I don't want to say what these people are saying.
In the movie, they are glorifying and celebrating the scene about celebrating Pinot in particular, when he describes the love of his life being this certain type of wine.
Yeah, and he does a great job of describing the grape and why it's why they call it the heartbreak grape, you know, because it is a really difficult grape to grow. It has a very thin skin. It needs coolness. Otherwise, if too much sun, it'll get sunburned, but it needs some sun to get ripe. It needs coolness to keep a level of crispness to it so that the flavors come out. But there's also there's a silkiness to it and an earthiness, and it's a really perfumey grape, and it's just, I say it is like, it's like the sexiest grape. I really love it. Funny thing about Sideways, by the way, you know, Sideways did actually help the sales of Pinot Noir.
And I believe it.
And it hurt the sales of Merlot. You know, it's that scene where I'm not drinking any effing Merlot. But Merlot was having issues at its time, but Merlot still vastly outsells Pinot Noir.
Oh, does it?
Vastly. It was the most grown red grape in the world. Now it's Cabernet, but Merlot's right behind for lots of good reason. Actually, the truth of it is there's a lot of really great Merlots out there too. There's so much about Pinot that makes it interesting too. Like, one of the things is it mutates like crazy. It's a really sort of a genetically unstable grape. So there's all these different clones of it. So you get all these different flavors. And for wine lovers who know, they start to talk about the clone and the place in Burgundy, France, where it's grown. Each clone might need a different treatment and have a different flavors to it. It's given birth to some other grapes like Pinot Gris, which is Pinot Noir basically means black Pinot.
Yes.
And so Pinot Gris, gray, Pinot Blanc, white, Pinot Meunier. I don't know what Meunier means, actually, but that's a red grape. It's the parent of Chardonnay, one of the parents of Chardonnay. So Pinot Noir and a grape we call Gouet Blanc, which sounds like the name of a snail. but those two grapes got together. They, you know, it was a wild Saturday night. Next thing you know, Chardonnay was born, or some version of that. But it's a really impactful grape, and it's very different from so many other types of red wines that are either more stable or more consistent sometimes. That mutationness in all of those different forms of it means that you can get very light Pinots to really heavy, hearty Pinots, you know, all within its own special character.
I think of the Russian River area.
Yeah, one of the great
having
ones.
So many different, not only vineyards, but flavors. And there can be such variation. I thought it was more of a climate issue. But what you're explaining is that maybe it's about the grape or the grape mutation.
Well, it's many of those things all tied together. So some of the different clones need one kind of climate. But certainly the climate has an impact. I mean, if there's anything that has an impact on grapes other than when they pick, it's always something to know. If you know that a grape comes from a cooler climate, it'll be a little lighter, a little brighter, you know, a little bit more snap in it, like an acid to it. But, you know, you don't taste the acid. It just has a sharpness. If it's a little warmer, it'll be a little richer, a little rounder. And so Pinot Noir is absolutely affected by that more than maybe any other grape, because it is so sensitive to its climate and to its terroir.
While we've been talking, I looked up Meunier,
uh-huh.
And it just means to grind, to mill. So it's not so much a taste, but maybe a process, but it's an old French word.
Interesting. Well, here's another fun thing about Pinot Meunier, which is an offshoot of Pinot Noir. Actually, all those grapes that I named, Pinot Blanc, Gris, Meunier.
Maybe it's a blend.
They all have the same DNA character. They actually all show up as Pinot Noir. And think about Pinot Meunier. There are times, this is the only grape that we know that does this. There are times where, we've talked once before that you get the color from the skins, right?
Yes.
But because there's so much going on in the DNA that sometimes Pinot Meunier can turn very, very light and look almost like a white wine.
Hmm.
It's a blending grape, by the way, in Champagne.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier, the main blending grapes in French-style Chardonnay.
So Thanksgiving meal or celebration is a great time to do a little experimenting with Pinot Noir.
Absolutely. Here I am about to contradict everything I always say, but that's pretty much how I roll, which is if you're going to pick one wine to go with your Thanksgiving table and your holiday tables, Pinot Noir, because it just matches. It's a great food wine. The layers of flavor, just it's a little bit of snap, it's lushness, you know, or silkiness. It goes with so many kinds of food. And you think about the kind of earthy foods that are often around in fall and for Thanksgiving and that sort of stuff. It's a great Thanksgiving wine, but in part because it's also just a good wine, you know, so your world isn't too complicated. It's a good wine to sip before the meal and then a wine to sip during the meal, too.
One more note about Thanksgiving dinner, and that is about the glassware.
One of the things that you've heard me say this over and over about not being a wine snob, if there's any time of year to not be a wine snob, the holidays is a time to not you know what about the wine you drink. Just drink whatever's there, enjoy it. Any wine that you like will go with the foods. If you're throwing a party, this is always kind of an issue, right? You know, if you're the one that's hosting Thanksgiving and you've got 20 people coming over, which seems to be the thing. Who has 20 of the same wine glasses besides me because I do events, right? And so don't worry about it. Don't worry about the glasses being different. But I do have a suggestion. And one way, there's only going to be three people there who care. Everybody else, they don't care what the glass is. But there's going to be the one wine snob who's not going to act like a snob because they're listening to our advice, but still going to care about the glass. So what you do is set them out. Don't set them on the table. Set them out and during the appetizers where they're pouring themselves a glass of wine. And what will happen is they will self-select. The people who care will grab the nice glasses. And the people who don't care will just take whatever glasses in front of them and everybody will be happy.
Or the people who plan to drink more or less.
Yes, I go for the big one. That's what I do. Just the largest glass possible so it hides the volume that I'm drinking.
When I think of you at Thanksgiving, I know you love dessert. And that brings us to our final tip.
We've had our pie discussion, haven't we?
We have. There are always at least three different choices of pie
yes.
at the Cushman family dessert
yeah, that's
table.
True. Cherry and pumpkin have to be in there. And then it could be blueberry, lemon meringue. Do you like rhubarb pie? There's really not many. Pie is my happy word. But, and I'm going to tee you up for this one.
Okay.
We have wine advice on the wine that you should choose with your dessert. What kind of wine should that be, Beth?
Just make sure that your wine is sweeter than your dessert.
Yay!
Right?
We say this all the time.
Yeah.
This is the thing I always say about wine, and don't to never forget, is that wine has a little bit of acid in it, any wine. And the example I always use is think about orange juice. You wouldn't think about it having acid until you brush your teeth and have your glass of orange juice, and it's, wow, where's that come from? So wine has that as a backbone. And so the sweetness is just like brushing your teeth. Even though we sort of pretend that it's all fine, if you have a big red wine or even a rich white wine, often with a dessert, the acid is going to come out and the wine will taste sour. Sweet wines, however, and there's nothing wrong with sweet wines, aren't they great? They're sweet and they're wine. But they really enhance the dessert. You'll get all the fruit out of the wine and it'll really make the flavors in your pies really make them pop.
All right, Rick. Happy entrance into the holiday season.
I'm excited already for my pie.
Wine expert Rick Cushman speaking with Beth Ruyak about picking that perfect bottle of wine for your next big gathering, likely Thanksgiving. More information on our website at capradio.org/insight. And you are listening to Insight right here on your NPR station, Cap Radio.